When a visitor comes to our studio and I walk to the car with him, my dog follows. A stranger can't tell whose dog he is until the visitor gets into his car and I walk back into the studio. My dog always follows his master. Next week, or tomorrow, or even tonight, when you must make a decision between the Word and the world, if your friends keep their eyes on you, they'll find out who your master is. We see this in the letters our Lord wrote to the church in Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. These letters are found in the third chapter of the book of Revelation. We'll look at the Sardis letter first. It's found in Revelation 3, 1 through 7. Look at the area. Sardis was famous for its plenty. Through the city flowed a river whose waters bore gold dust to the citizens. This city had unlimited wealth. Greatest of the Sardian kings was Croesus. His name is still mentioned in the proverb, as rich as Croesus. Sardis was the place where modern money was born. It was minted here in the days when this letter was written. Sardis was famous for its people. She boasted of many wise men, and Sardis was famous for its performances. The art of dyeing wool was discovered there, and it was the center of the woolen trade. Sardis was famous for its position. It was at the center of a hub of five different roads, and it was situated on the pier of a solid rock, high and steep. It was considered an impregnable fortress. Sardis was famous for its pleasure-loving. Her people were loose livers, and on pagan lips, Sardis was a name of contempt. It was a degenerate city of flabby, foolish, and foul people. Now, look at the assembly. In Sardis, you'll find the ruins of a Christian church. It's the Church of St. John. So it's believed that he planted the seed for the church in Sardis. This church wasn't threatened by any persecution or any perils. There was no threat from Caesar worship, false religions, guilds, or the Jews. It was untroubled from without and within. It had peace, but it was the peace of the dead. There's a peace that comes from conquest, and another from ceasing to care. The peace of a man whose dreams are dead, whose mind is asleep, and whose soul is satisfied with the status quo. Now, look at the author. Verse 1 reads, "Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars." This symbol speaks of the Holy Spirit in his perfection and power, and the description, "He hath the seven stars," was given to remind all who were in the Sardian church that the leaders are in his right hand. They must take their orders from him. He's the head of the church, and through his Holy Spirit, he carries out his program. But there were some who tried to run the church apart from the Lord. When there's a lack of love and life, it's a sign that Christ is no longer Lord. Our Lord had no commendation for Sardis as a church. He has praise for a faithful few, but not for the church. Listen to the admonition. I know thy works, admitted our Lord. It was a beehive of activity. Something was going on all the time. Had you asked any person in Sardis for a wide awake live church, he would have said, this one is alive. For our Lord said, thou hast a name that thou art alive. But was it? No. Our Lord added, thou art dead. Didn't they pray? Yes. But there was no passion and no power in their prayers. Their prayers never reached heaven. Didn't they sing? Oh, yes. But it was from the top of their throats, not from the bottom of their hearts. Didn't they give? They did. But it was their silver, not themselves. Like artificial flowers, there were the looks, but there was no life. So many of our churches today are like morgues, not maternity wards. The conversion of a sinner is a miracle, and the church that doesn't work miracles is dead and ought to be buried. A church is dead or about to die when it's more concerned about traditions than the truth, about the social and not the spiritual, about the program and not the people, about buildings and not believers, about fame and not faith. Our Lord continued in verse 2, I have not found thy works perfect before God. The word perfect means finished or complete. They were not carrying out God's purpose for their existence. Their name was before men, not God. Their church was a living lie. The members were physically alive but spiritually dead. Look at the approval. In verse 4 we read, thou hast a few names in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. God has had his few in every generation. There was Enoch, and then there was Noah. They were in the period just before the flood. There was Abraham, and then there was Lot in the days after the flood. God has always been in the remnant business. He's not converting the world. He's taking a people out of the world for his name. The hope of revival is in the master's minority, but they must be careful to be humble, not haughty, to be holy, not holier than thou, separated from sin, but not separated from sinners. Our Lord said in verse 4, thou hast a few who have not defiled their garments. A soldier must dress the part of a soldier. So a Christian must dress the part of a Christian. Not only must our clothes be clean, but also our conversation and conduct. Is your life clean? To the few, our Lord said in verse 4, they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The ministry is referred to as men of the cloth. When John Huss was burned at the stake, the first thing they did was to tear off his ministerial garb, the sign of being a preacher. They burned it first, but Christ clothed him in white raiment. Of him, Christ said, he is worthy. Are you worthy? Is your life clean? My Christian friend, let's vow to be true to God, to be clean in our conversation, in our conduct, and clean in everything we do. You will, won't you?